With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. You can find all of my work at Dalton_Trigg on Twitter. I post everything I write on there, everything we write over at DallasBasketball.com. And then, you know, there's just a lot of other daily Dallas Mavericks content on there as well. We do have a pod account, too, at Step Back Mavs on Twitter. Be sure to go follow us there. And today I have a special guest, return guest. It's my colleague over at DallasBasketball.com. He does a ton of great work for us. Just posted a great Mavs film room piece on that Bucks Mavs game where Luka took it to Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's Grant Afseth, and you can find him on Twitter at Grant Afseth. That's A-F-S-E-T-H. And Grant, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing really well. It's always better to do a podcast after a good win instead of Washington Wizards 30-point loss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's – look, I've gotten to where – and I know most people – that's one thing that, you know, people applaud my guy Kirk Henderson for is that, you know, he's just a machine. He will record a podcast, you know, after a 30-point loss, after anything. He just does, like, daily podcasts now, it seems like. But me, on the other hand, like, I just – with all the stuff we have going on, after that one, it's just like, do we really want to talk about what we just watched? Because I feel like it would just be depressing. And after a loss, you know, people – you know, the listens on these podcasts are always dramatically different going from wins to losses. So, yeah, I really did not want to talk about that Wizards loss. It was awful. I'm glad they just kind of swept it under the rug and forgot about it and then moved on to Milwaukee. And, man, that was – it's one thing, and you wrote about this here recently too, but, you know, the Mavs have completely changed their identity. You know, they're so much better defensively, but – the mental toughness of this team is something that has been apparent throughout this regular season. They have had a handful of really bad losses, but they never let it get to them. They never lose, you know, more than like a couple in a row. And more times than not, they bounce back after the first loss. And that's what we saw here recently when the Mavs lost by 30 to the Wizards, just completely awful game. And then they go on the road in Milwaukee, a fully healthy reigning champion Milwaukee Bucks team. They had Giannis, they had Drew Holiday, Middleton, the whole crew ready to go. And the Mavs were without Maxi Kleber, who's been struggling lately. And they went in there and they got a 118 to 112 win after trailing by double digits at one point in that, I believe, early in the second quarter. So that was great to see. Luka, he had a fantastic game. Almost got another triple-double, 32 points, 15 assists, and I can't remember either 8 or 9 rebounds, but he was close to notching himself another triple-double. He's averaging 28, 9, and 8 on the season, and he's starting to enter that MVP conversation, at least from my perspective, you know, at least amongst the fans. I mean, there's a lot of people giving him props on national TV and everything, but they're still not putting him up there with those real, you know, top guys with Jokic and Embiid. And in my opinion, I mean, I don't care how he started the season. I feel like what he's doing right now has kind of given him a really good case for MVP, especially with his head-to-head record versus, you know, these top guys in the conversation, and the fact that the Mavs have a better record currently than, you know, the 76ers and the Nuggets and the Milwaukee Bucks. So I realize I'm biased, or at least people will think I'm biased when I say that. But I mean, when I look at the numbers and I look at how the Mavs have performed and just this tear that Luka has been on since the start of the new year, I just don't see how he's not getting more attention than what he is so far. I mean, what do you think about Luka's MVP chances so far?
I think pretty much everything you said is right on point. I think to me, it's just kind of weird how much stock is being placed on what many people call a slow start for Luka. I feel like that month of October was lower production, but he quickly got into gear in November. So it wasn't really like this like whole third of a season or quarter of a season where he was like not even playing well for a superstar. I think it's kind of weird with Luka, because the perception of him is that the bar is so high for him individually that when he doesn't meet it, it's considered disappointing. But when his disappointing in their eyes is still better than a fair amount of like high level stars. So it seems weird to get for him to get knocked for like a handful of games, essentially. And I think probably the Mavericks record of like 16 and 18 through 34 games probably has a decent amount to do with the perception of a slow start. But in reality, that wasn't necessarily mostly derived from Luka's play. It was like figuring out their identity under a new coach, trying to get Porzingis integrated, COVID protocols, all that stuff. And I feel like just in general, there's just a lot of stock placed into a misinterpretation. And on top of that, I feel like once the groundwork is sort of laid for certain MVP candidates, I feel like people don't want to be looked at as like knee-jerk reaction or recency bias. So they're not going to really like shake up their top five too much is kind of what it seems like.
And it's weird to me because, I mean, I get that. You don't want to overreact based on like one game or one guy's really good week of play or something. But, I mean, the sample size is huge here since the start of the new year. It's not like he just had a couple of hot weeks and, you know, we're just trying to throw him into the mix because of that. It's like, no, this entire calendar year, and even, you know, like you said, even when he was quote-unquote struggling at the beginning of the season, that his struggling is incredible for mostly every other player in the league. But like you said, the bar is just set so high for him. So, I mean, I get that people don't want to, you know, jump on that train because they think, oh, well, they're just kind of, like you said, having the recency bias stuff come up. But I think we have enough of a sample size to where he should be right there in the mix with the rest of them. Now, it's probably not going to play out that way based on some of these, you know, polls like the ESPN straw poll and some of that stuff that had like 100 different media people voting on it. And, you know, it seems like he doesn't have a legitimate shot. But, you know, with the way he's finished out this season and the way he's, you know, tallied his numbers and some of these big wins the Mavs have gotten throughout the course of this season, especially in the head-to-heads, I feel like he at least should be a finalist at this point. I mean, that would be what I look for. Even if he doesn't win it, I think he should be a finalist. I think he has played well enough to where he's definitely on the All-NBA first team for the third consecutive year. And he'll even if he doesn't get that, he'll be on second team, and that'll just motivate him even more. But I do think he'll end up being on that first team. And just to talk about that Bucks win specifically for a little bit, Grant, I mean, Dwight Powell, he has been, I don't want to say incredible because, I mean, that I feel like that might be a little hyperbolish, but he's been really, really good this year. He's bounced back from that Achilles injury. He's gotten his athleticism back to where it was before the injury, which is, I mean, that in itself is incredible. And he's got this chemistry with Luka that's just better than any other player with Luka on the team right now. And he came out and he actually defended Giannis pretty well in that game. And he ended up with 22 points and 13 rebounds. And he was a big part of it. And then Luka took over in the fourth quarter. But What are some of your biggest takeaways from the Mavs win in Milwaukee that brings them to within one game of getting a 50-win season for the first time in, let's see, 7 years?
I think, honestly, that 11-2 run was pretty big. I think Luka's just being the master of, like, the chess game, figuring out a weak point and then just exploiting it over and over again until the other team has to make an adjustment. And the fact that he's so confident that he thinks the weak point would be getting Giannis to guard him out on the perimeter is pretty interesting. Yeah. That kind of tells you how good he is at basketball. But, you know, another thing that I thought was kind of an underrated element of it, I thought at the start of the second quarter, the bench unit did a pretty solid job of kind of stabilizing things with, I think, most of the Bucks' key stars on the floor still. During that stretch. And, you know, I think they kind of let up in the fourth quarter to start with Luka off the court. So they weren't necessarily like fantastic all around, but I just figured that that stretch kind of showed like, you know, that's pretty solid stuff to be able to trust like the bench to that extent. And then your closer can come in even when they don't necessarily continue each stint throughout the game succeeding.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the biggest things since the trade because, I mean, you've come on here and we've talked about it before, and I've talked about it with Matt and pretty much everyone else I've had on here, but that was the biggest thing. Everybody was calling for Jalen Brunson to be a full-time starter earlier in the season. At least I was, and I saw a handful of people that were too because he was playing at such a high level. And when it happened, it's like the obvious downside to him starting was that you're taking away your best bench player. And then when Tim Hardaway Jr. got injured, it's like, oh man, now you don't have, now you don't have that 14, 15 points per game coming off the bench either. And, you know, you don't have a guy on the bench that can help get Tim Hardaway Jr. better shots, even if he hadn't gotten injured. So they had a problem there. And, you know, we've talked about it that Kristaps Porzingis, as good as he was at times this year, he still wasn't a great fit. And, you know, just by the numbers, he just didn't affect winning or losing very much, which is why it made it, you know, made it more of a more easy to trade him, I guess is how I'll put it. I'll be nice. And so when they traded him and got Dinwiddie, it's like, okay, now you have a guy who can score in double digits every single night if you need him to. And he also takes on that secondary ball handler role off the bench, and he can create his own shot. And he's shown that he has a clutch gene. I mean, it's just worked out perfectly for the Mavs. So it is nice to be able to not, you know, for the Mavs to just not get absolutely destroyed when Luka has to take a breather. And I think that's really going to help in the playoff. Now, when we get to the playoffs, Luka's probably going to play like 40 plus minutes a game. So you're not going to have that much time, downtime where he's on the bench. But, you know, it's like we saw in game three of that Clippers series last year when the Mavs jumped out to such a huge lead. It was like close to 20 points. And then Rick Carlisle decided to sit Luka about halfway through that first quarter. And then by the time the quarter was over, the Clippers were all the way back in it. So we're not going to see that anymore. And by the way, I don't think Luka has – sat a first quarter since that moment. I have to go back and look, but I feel like when J-Kidd came in, I think that was one of the things that they talked about, like, hey, I'm not sitting in a first quarter. I don't think he's done that the entire year. I could be wrong, but I feel like since that moment, they're just like, no, we're going to see this through. So I think Dinwiddie is going to end up being one of the biggest X factors for the Mavs in the playoffs. Obviously the shooting of like Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith and, you know, even Maxi Kleba, as good defensively as he is, he still hasn't been able to break out of his funk. There's been signs of life lately from him, but it would not hurt my feelings at all if they just, you know, benched him for these last three games and just let him get some rest before the postseason, and then hopefully he gets his legs back under him and contributes in a big way come postseason time. But the biggest thing is Luka. He is completely healthy. He has turned it up to a whole nother level. He has reached playoff form before the playoffs has even started. So that's a great sign for the Mavs. And
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You know, it's looking right now, Grant, we'll go into our next topic here. Obviously, things can change. I mean, there's a couple different scenarios that are still in play with three games left in the season. But as of right now, and based on what the standings currently look like in the West, it looks like the most likely scenario is the Mavs playing either the Nuggets or the Jazz in the first round, either as the 3 seed or the 4 seed. So it looks like the Mavs are going to have home court. And it also looks like it's going to be one of those teams. It's just a matter of, will they catch the Warriors or, you know, will they stay at 4? And we talked about this in a roundtable earlier this week, and we'll talk about it again here. But who do you think is the best matchup for the Mavs between those two teams? You know, whether it's like, is it obviously the Mavs want to be in that part of the bracket that avoids the Phoenix Suns for as long as possible. But if that means being the 3 seed and facing the Nuggets, you know, would you rather be the 3 seed and face the Nuggets, or would you rather be the 4 seed and face the Jazz, who are imploding, and then just take your chances against Phoenix in the second round? I mean, what are your thoughts on how all this should play out for the Mavs?
Personally, I think the 3 seed, kind of by any means necessary, is probably the number one feeling that I kind of get from it, just because – I think the Nuggets with Jokic, for anyone, that would be a challenge. But I think with the fact that he's got limitations defensively and they can't afford to obviously take him off the floor, that could be an interesting just like clash of styles going against each other, where it's like, does Luka's team identity lift a team higher than Jokic's team identity? Obviously, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are out, so it's not necessarily a fair comparison. But, like, with those two guys being sidelined, I still think there's some, like, vulnerability that can be taken advantage of, given, like, Jokic's limitations and them maybe not having perhaps that firepower to overcome that throughout a seven-game series.
I mean, it's kind of like the same concept with Dirk back in the day. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you're not going to stop Dirk. You can only hope to contain him.
Exactly.
But, you know, the best way to defend Dirk was to have a bunch of, you know, long-armed, athletic dudes. It wasn't, you know, having a real big dude at center and everything. You know, it's like the Golden State Warriors when they upset the Mavs in 2007. That team had a lot of, you know, long athletic defenders that really gave Dirk issues. And I think that's kind of the same concept with Jokic here. I think, you know, throughout the course of a seven game series, you're not going to stop him. Obviously he's going to get his numbers, but you can make it really hard on him and you can annoy the crap out of him with guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock and, you know, all these other long defenders that are athletic and give him trouble at least. And I think that really will help you, especially like you said, since they don't have Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray, and it doesn't look like they're coming back. So I'm of the opinion that it doesn't really matter, at least in the first round. I agree. I think the three seed is necessary if the Mavs want to make a legitimate long postseason run and potentially get to the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, over the course of two rounds, you don't know what could happen with Phoenix. You know, Chris Paul has injury issues, and let's see, the Clippers are currently in the eighth spot, and they got Paul George back. We don't know what's going on with Kawhi. Everything's always a mystery with him. So, like, if he comes back, I mean, what happens? what happens in the first round? I mean, what if we saw the Clippers all of a sudden get back to full strength and end up upsetting the Suns? And then if the Mavs stay in the fourth spot, then you have, if they win in the first round, you have Mavs Clippers round three in the second round. So obviously, even in that scenario, I think you'd like to avoid the Clippers for until at least the conference final. But I mean, I'm of the opinion that it doesn't really matter for the first round, because as long as Luka is healthy, as long as, you know, all of these main pieces for the Mavs are healthy, aside from Tim Hardaway Jr., it doesn't look like he's going to make a comeback for this season. I think they're going to be good for the first round, and I think they're going to have a really good chance to win their first playoff series for the first time in 11 years, which seems crazy. I mean, there's been some really fun playoff moments for the Mavs throughout this decade plus, but they just haven't been able to get over the hump. And with their newfound defense and, you know, Luka taking his game to a new level, and he's getting the most help this season than he has throughout his entire career so far, in my opinion. So I think they have a really good shot to do it. And I mean, I want it to be the Mavs in the three seed, and then the Jazz end up as the sixth seed. I feel like that would be the perfect scenario there, because the Jazz are completely imploding. And I just think that would work out best for the Mavs if they end up in the three seed and end up playing Utah and avoid Phoenix as long as possible. But now, just talking about, this will be our last thing we touch on, and then we'll get out of here, Grant. But, you know, there were some reports coming out, a couple different reports, saying that the Mavs would potentially be interested in trading for Rudy Gobert if the Jazz end up blowing things up. And right now, I mean, it seems like that's inevitable that's coming this summer, based on how their season has gone, and especially if they end up losing in the first round of the playoffs this year. But Rudy Gobert, he's very good, multi-time defensive player of the year, excellent pick and roll player. It's kind of bewildering to me that, you know, I saw that stat the other day that Donovan Mitchell averages two passes, not assists, but passes to Gobert per game, which seems just absolutely insane based on some of the mismatches that he gets on a nightly basis. So he's a center. He makes $40 million a year, and I know everybody's just like, you don't really need to pay a big man that much money, yada, yada. But given his attributes and what he would bring to this current Mavs team, which is very good defensively, this team is great, but they don't have a true defensive anchor. I feel like adding Gobert into this mix would be like the final piece that the Mavs need, you know, to kind of take this to the next level. So, I mean, would you do it? Well, that's the first part of this question. Would you do it if you're the Mavs? Would you make a big swing for Gobert? And, I mean, if you did, I mean, what kind of trade package would be, you know, admissible? I mean, you know, what kind of trade package would be something that Dallas should give up? And then, like, what's the bar there that they shouldn't cross as far as giving up assets?
I think it's definitely worth considering. I think it gets a little tricky when you kind of try to play around with the trade machine a little bit with constructing a package. I think if you could get away with moving one of the, like, less favorable contracts that are on the books, like a Hardaway Jr. or Bertans, I think that makes it a lot more appealing, because then you're kind of utilizing more of the salary cap space to something that will be contributing, like, directly to, like, Luka's pick and rolls and, like, anchoring the defense. Because right now it's, like, just a weird overlap with the backcourt rotation with Hardaway, I feel like, after he's healthy. where it's like, where exactly is he going to fit? And then Bretons obviously is kind of just like, not necessarily the, like a big role, fit on the team. Kind of just like a guy who comes off the bench and shoots, throughout, stretches. So I feel like if you can move one of those contracts where they're taking up a lot of money for what they're going to be asked to do, that makes it, more appealing. And I do think the idea itself, there's definitely pros and cons to it. You know, with the cons being that, Gobert is a bit limited offensively, but I do think it is, in fairness, as you said, he doesn't really have like an elite playmaker that's like unselfishly creating shots for him. They've got like this really spaced out offense where they've got like kind of a volume shooting, guard as the main fulcrum of the offense, but they don't have like a Luka or a James Harden who gets like really deep on drives, makes the big defender make choices and throws lobs and stuff like that consistently. So I think it's definitely interesting to think about what he would be as a Maverick, considering Dwight Powell can drop like 22 points.
See,
against like a Milwaukee Bucks defense.
This is what I was about to say, Grant. I was about to say, you know, I mean, I get it. There are some setbacks to doing a trade like that, but I just feel like the potential upside of it is so great that you just don't really have to think about those now. Cause I mean, there's downsides to having Dwight Powell as your starting center.
But, yeah. There's downsides to pretty much anything, honestly, like even like superstar pairings, you're going to have like, oh, well, this guy may not be the best off the ball, but you know, this guy, oh, he doesn't really provide much defensively. Like you're definitely going to have limitations. I think the main, you know, knock with the defensive limitations of him, like kind of being a deep drop guy. It would be interesting to see if he was kind of like deployed in a scheme where he's got to like play closer to the level and kind of move around more. Cause I don't think necessarily anybody over 7 feet would be fantastic at that. But I think honestly, Utah has been like picking their poison quite a bit and living with, you know, other teams getting hot on the pull-ups and stuff like that. And I think, you know, they kind of take it to an extreme where it doesn't necessarily need to stay all the time to the point where you're dying by that strategy when a team's hot in a series.
And I just like the idea of, you know, because Gobert, he's one of the best screen setters in the game. And, you know, his rolling and everything, it's elite. I mean, I feel like you add that with Luka, and then him being able to provide you with what he does on the defensive end versus what you get from Dwight Powell, who tries his hardest every single night. But, you know, he's got – I don't know what his wingspan is, but I would bet it's a negative wingspan because his arms just aren't quite long enough to – you know, if his arms were like 4 or 5 inches longer, Dwight Powell might end up getting like defensive player of the year one year because of his effort. But – maybe that's me being overdramatic, but I just feel like that's how it is. He just doesn't have the physical tools to be for his talent to match his effort. And I feel like just getting Gobert in that role to where you have a true defensive anchor now, like the Mavs did with Tyson Chandler back in 2011. Obviously, this would be on another level because Gobert is a lot better than Tyson Chandler. And, you know, you pair him with Luka, I think you're an automatic title contender, at least for the next couple of years until, you know, Gobert starts to decline a little bit. So I would be all for it. I'd have to look at the salary stuff, but I think, just going off of my rough math in my head, I think a package of like Tim Hardaway Jr., Bertans, and Maxi Kleba with some picks, I think that would work financially. And, you know, I don't know what else the Jazz would be offered by other teams for Gobert, given the length of his contract and how much he makes and all that stuff. But that would be a kind of package I'd be looking at for the Mavs to offer and just see what happens. And if it doesn't, I mean, I don't think it's like do or die. You have to get Gobert to become a title contender. I think there's going to be other options available for the Mavs this summer. But that would be where I would start, you know, with a package and just see where it goes from there. So we'll see we'll see how it goes going into the summer. I mean, is there anything else you're potentially looking for with the Mavs this summer aside from, you know, being interested in Gobert that I haven't talked about already?
Well, I think one part of the Gobert stuff that's kind of worth considering is given how long he's been with the Jazz and like the respect they have for him and all that stuff. I do kind of wonder how much influence a situation could have on like the trade returns and like where he could end up if they were like, Rudy, where would you want to go? Give us a list of teams. And he's like, well, number one, I would prefer this team to this team. And if the Mavericks were high on that list, would the Jazz be willing to take a little bit less to kind of treat him well, part like in his departure, kind of how Portland allowed CJ McCollum to kind of pick where he went within reason and sent him to New Orleans for a not so fantastic trade package.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I saw somewhere with one, there were a couple of different reports about the Mavs and Rudy Gobert, but I think I saw one where they were talking about how, you know, Rudy, it's believed that he would want to play with Luka in Dallas is what I thought I read somewhere. I have to look that up. You can confirm that later if you need to, but it makes sense. I mean, they have the European connection. They obviously respect each other a bunch. You know, he's Gobert is the only guy this season where, you know, you wrote a piece about, how Luka attacked Giannis in the clutch. And, you know, he's been doing that all season. He did it to Steph Curry, did it to LeBron James. He did it to Rudy Gobert too. And Rudy Gobert is like the only guy this year that has actually stopped him. Now, given in that last 2 minute report of that game, there were a handful of fouls that Rudy committed that he didn't get called for, but still, you know, that's part of having that elite defensive reputation. You get away with some of that stuff when you have that. So a lot of mutual respect there. It would be a great fit for those two specifically. And, you know, if the Mavs retain most of their roster as it is right now, and they're mainly just trading pieces that aren't really contributing as much right now and adding picks to it, then, you know, you're bringing back a really, really good defensive team. And now you have a true defensive anchor and you can take it up to the next level. So I would be very excited to see how it goes. We'll see how the Mavs finish out this regular season, though. They play at Detroit on Wednesday, and then they finish out the season with two home games against the Portland Trail Blazers, who are tanking as hard as any team I have seen in recent years, and the San Antonio Spurs, who right now they still have a little bit to play for, but by the time we get to that final game, you know, the Lakers could be eliminated, and, you know, that might be an easy W as well. So we'll see how it goes. If the Spurs win tonight and the Lakers lose to the Suns, which is, in my opinion, 100% going to happen, the Lakers are officially eliminated from play-in tournament, from being able to be in the play-in tournament, which is crazy considering all the preseason hype that went around this team. I mean, I didn't think they were going to be, you know, a top seed in the West, but I definitely thought they'd at least, you know, be a play-in team or at the bottom of that Western Conference. So, but Grant, I appreciate you joining me today. We're going to go ahead and head out of here. And guys, all, you know, remember, go follow him at Grant Afseth on Twitter. And you can find me at Dalton_Trigg and the podcast at Step Back Mavs. But Grant, I really appreciate it. We will definitely have to do it again before the playoffs start.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Guys, be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to go join our Discord where we post the link to our watch parties. We're with the Playback app, and we are hosting watch parties for every single Mavs game, regular season and playoffs. You don't want to miss it. It's free. Just go click the link to that Discord that I have. I believe I have that pinned on the podcast account. And again, that's at Step Back Mavs. And be sure to go leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And that automatically enters you for a chance to win some free Mavs tickets in the future. So all you got to do is go leave us a review there. And any future giveaways, you're going to have a chance to win because you left that review. So Appreciate it, guys. We will talk to you next time, probably towards the end of this week, either Friday or Saturday. We'll see you.